How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. I've got How are you guys?
Yeah,
Good,
everything's good
good,
on my front as well.
All right. Well, we got some action going on with the Mets today. We'd like to talk about. So what do you guys think so far about the Mets season, real quick? You guys
Go
shocked,
ahead.
surprised about, where we're at? We're one of the top teams. We just nice draft. What do you guys, any thoughts? Doesn't have to be a long thought, just real quick.
I mean, you can't really be mad or anything. If I know the Braves are getting closer, but this team still have a pretty darn good record. So yeah, I can't be mad about that.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. They're in place. They've been playing really well all season long, and we're just getting out of the All-Star break. So we got, just about a little less than half the season left, and you got to like where they're at right now in first place. Like Cornet, getting closer, but so far they've been able to keep them at bay, at least, So you have to like where they, what they have, how they have been playing, and the future of the team as well in terms of the long term.
And good to mention that the Braves, in recent, they have won so many games that if they would do that all season, they would win 123 games. So it's just a crazy run that they have been on. So it's not like the Mets collapse. It's like that the Braves have been really, really good.
Because a lot of people think that the Braves' success is the Mets' failure, but it's not the case. They just, won a World Series. We have a talented lineup. They have great
Pitching.
pitching.
We're
They're
a good team.
and they're just playing really good. It has nothing to do with how the Mets are playing.
Yeah, certainly. You look at kind of what last year too, right? It was the Mets in first place for what seemed like the better part of 3 months, and all of a sudden the season just fell out from under them. It's not that. It's much different. The Braves are good again, but the Mets are much better. You look at their overall record, it's much better. And like you guys both went on, a 28-6 streak or something crazy like that in since June 1st. And they went on that streak, and even after that they weren't in first place. So the Mets did a nice job of building a big cushion. And you knew that the Braves were going to get hot at some point. They weren't going to be a team that hovered around 500 all year long, and that the Mets had that cushion to withstand the blow of the Braves winning 14 straight games and having one of the better records, if not the best record, in baseball since.
Yeah, and it's not like the Mets are not doing anything to try to improve. The DH position is definitely a big weakness. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, what they're doing to improve that. But before we get there, let's talk about last week's draft. Okay, we're going to focus on the first five picks that the Mets made. So I'd like to start with Cornet. What would you? Out of the five picks, you want to talk about them? Is there anybody that stands out to you the most? You want to just talk about Parada for us?
Oh yeah, sure. Parada. I mean, what's not to like? If you watch some clips of him in his college days, that guy has power to all fields. I watched all his home runs, and I think like maybe 40% of the time he went opposite field, and it reminded me of the old David Wright. So, what's not to love? It wasn't really a position where people think that the Mets would go for. He wasn't, I mean, you and I, Dale, were talking on the chat, and I mean, he wasn't really on our radar, but he fell, and he fell to the 11th spot. And I mean, that hitter, that bat will play. So we will see if he ends up being a catcher. You never know what's gonna happen in the future with the two guys in Alvarez and Parada. Maybe Parada can move. Maybe you have the DH, which could help us. So it's, I mean, it's a very, very solid pick. The Mets took the best player available, and in my opinion, that's how you draft. You don't draft needs. You draft best player available, and they did exactly that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that statement. You get the best available player. He's a Georgia Tech college catcher.
Yeah, you have to talk about the all those colleges, because I know nothing about all those colleges. That's more your side of the ball. So if you want to fill me in, it's for both of you. Please do about the
yeah. All you got to know is that Georgia Tech is a good ranked baseball school. It's not the best, but it's pretty up there. Charlie, what do you think about Parada?
You know, I share the same sentiment as Cornet does. Certainly, I think it was a bit of a shock that he fell to the Mets at 11. You know, kind of almost ironically, it was the fact that Kumar Rocker was available in this draft and not after not signing with the Mets that kind of led to Parada, because obviously the Rangers picking him as high as they did kind of was a shock to a lot of teams and caused, you know, players like Elijah Green after falling and kind of made the order of the draft a little bit more bottom heavy in terms of, you know, Kumar Rocker kind of knocked everybody down a slot or two in the draft order.
The Cubs also
a shock to the Mets, I think, and they were more than happy to have him in the system, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Made a surprising pick. They picked, some pitcher who wasn't even ranked in the top.
Kate Horton.
Thank you. Thank you. So they drafted him, which was a shock. And, you know, because of these two wild picks, it seems to, like, benefit the Mets with getting Parada. Parada is 20 years old, right? Francisco Alvarez is around the same age as Parada. They're both, you know, very talented players. But it seems like the direction that the Mets would go is – Parada to be more of a designated hitter, maybe a future first baseman, depending on how Alonso's defense continues to work out. He's got plus hit and power tool, which is great. And I'm excited to see what comes from Parada. You know, before we all go crazy, let's see how he does in the major league, in the minors. We're already seeing that Alvarez has established himself as a pretty good offensive catcher who's still working on his defense. Yeah, go ahead, Cornet.
Sorry. And that's something you have to figure out later. And if they both are really, really good, well, that's a plus. And if you can't figure out playing time or anything, then you have a very, very valued guy to maybe find other ways to improve your team with trading one of the two. And I'm not saying that they have to do it right now, definitely not, but it could be a luxurious problem, and those are never really horrendous.
It goes back to what you were saying before, Cornet, about drafting not available. We have no idea what the Mets will look like in 3-4 years when Parada is probably going to be close to the majors, if not in the majors. So the fact that you have both him and Alvarez is definitely a luxury and a good problem to have, and you could deal with that down the line. You cross that bridge when it gets there. We have no idea what the position players will look like, where the Mets will be at in the standings. So certainly, you know, having someone like Parada as well as Alvarez at a premium position like catcher definitely makes you kind of have a little bit of a positive view of the position and in general as prospects go for the Mets trying to replenish that system.
Yep. So that's, you know, that's again, that's the Mets' first pick, overall pick, Kevin Parada. So my favorite pick, I love Jett Williams. This kid seems like the type of guy who has a strong work ethics. He seems to be an elite contact hitter. His height, you know, has people a little bit worried, but I'm not. You know, with modern baseball, we've seen short guys like Altuve, you know, hit. It's being, you know, a little bit short doesn't really devalue him, in my opinion, especially when he has a really strong bat. However, he was drafted as a shortstop, and we all know that Lindor is blocked there for the long haul. So what do you guys think about Jet Williams and his future with this organization and just anything that, you know, you would like to talk about him? How about you, Charlie? What do you think?
You know, I think you kind of touched on it a little bit in your little scouting report, Williams. He's a shorter guy that I think long-term might project more as a second or maybe perhaps in the outfield. I definitely think that shortstop might not be where he is playing once he reaches the upper echelons of the minor league system. And like you said, he definitely has that contact ability and was one of the better high school hitters in this draft. So, you know, it's interesting. You kind of have a dichotomy of what the draft is like with the Mets' first two picks. So you have Parada, who's a college bat, who will probably move quickly through the system. And then you have Williams, who's, you know, a high school position player who might take, you know, 4 or 5 years, you know, even longer to progress. And all the tools are there that you'd want to see out of someone as young as a high school player, 17, 18 years old. And definitely, you know, they with the build of him and the kind of his vertically challenged nature, per se, I definitely think that shortstop play in the long term. With him and Parada, you got two really solid prospects in the first round and you know, at premium positions too, up the middle defensive, middle infield.
Yeah.
And I think
to
Yeah, actually, you both mentioned a lot of things I wanted to say. One thing which caught my eye with reading some reading into him was that his ability to hit high velocity pitches were really, really good. And with current modern baseball, with when pitches are keep throwing harder and harder, I think that's a main asset to already be pretty good at his age. So I think it's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, I mean he might develop, which, you know, it's a
strong need,
and I think he has the tools to be a pretty good center fielder should he develop that.
Yeah, same. If what you read is he is athletic enough to move around, so I'm not worried at all that he only can play shortstop. So that's something that you can easily figure out as well.
Yeah, and like Charlie said, the Mets went with a college bat and then a young guy. They were able to had an agreement for was it about $4 million? It was just, you know, below the pick value, but he so his you know, I guess this needs to sign
a lot of scouts
rave about probably the best high school bat in draft class.
How he develops.
Now Cornet, Charlie, if you don't know
pitching,
that's like his go-to. So I'm gonna let just talk about the next pick, Cornet.
All you.
Well, Tidwell, and that's my favorite pick of the first five rounds. I mean, a guy who was listed as to be a top 15 draft pick before some shoulder soreness. Well, we all know pitchers have soreness in that arm where they do lethal things to every time they throw a baseball. So yeah, to me, he pitched after that. Guy has pretty good breaking stuff. I think that's the main plus for him, but also can throw heat. He tops out at 99. If I watched an outing of him on YouTube, I mean, that's where I can find these outings. And I was really impressed with his fastball. But his breaking stuff is pretty neat. And I think it's pretty advanced breaking stuff for his age. So I'm very, very, I think that's a will be a really, really good arm for us to have in this system and to follow him. Is he our top arm right now? If Matt Allen is healthy, I would still pick him as number one, but he's a close second for me. And I think he's better than JT Ginn, who the Mets obviously lost in a trade. So we needed some pitching in our top prospect list, and the Mets did exactly that with Tidwell.
Yeah, that's you know, the right pick. A pitcher, you already have an infielder. We need to develop pitching. My biggest surprise,
and like
nobody did well in the fourth round. Really great move. But Charlie, what do you play Tidwell?
Yeah, no, I think they got good value. Obviously, with the injury he suffered, kind of tanked his draft stock a little bit. But obviously, a pitcher of his quality, you know, in that second round, is good value. You know, below value, you kind of, you know, free up some money for, you know, like you said, maybe the top guys like Parada. But yeah, I kind of what, you know, Cornet said, he's got that fast. Is his out pitch? He'll need to kind of work on and tweak his and refine his as he gets through the system more. But certainly, you like the liveliness of that arm and the if on the fastball is certainly something that you look to as I said, as one of his strengths as a pitcher.
Yeah, he also slider, which the Mets, they love to develop sliders, so they can definitely tune it up more to but yeah, he seems to have nice secondary pitches, and I'm excited to see what happens with Blake. So that was the second round pick with the 52nd overall. Next, with the second comp, I think that was for losing. Help me out here, Cornet, top of my head. They got this pick. Syndergaard from the Angels.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we got Nick Morabito. Charlie, what do you think about this pick? Who is this guy?
Yeah, he's kind of a little bit like a Jet Williams in the fact that he, you know, is really athletic, can play the outfield, but also can play up the middle in the infield, shortstop, and second base. And he, you know, does that really sought after tool, finding, you know, the raw power and speed that you see in so many of these young players that come up nowadays. So, you know, another high school bat. And so I think that be a while, obviously, until we see him at the major league level. But certainly, just you as a Met fan, and I'm sure the Met front office like this too, is that ability to, you know, hit the ball to all fields, gap, and speed as well to both use, you know, on the path and defensive, both be in the outfield or in the infield.
Yeah, he seems to fit the mold of what the Mets are this year, right? They're a scrappy team who put the ball in play a lot, not too much power, lots of, you know, but Morabito brings some more speed to the game. And I think that's part of the thing they like about him is that his speed is a game changer. Cornet, anything you want to add to Nick Morabito?
Well, it's a little bit of the four men's Jet Williams in this draft. For the Mets, I mean, a little bit later than Jet Williams, but also a little bit, I mean, yeah, worse. I mean, Jet Williams is a little bit better, but it's the same type player, and I mean, that's what the Mets are looking for a bit in their hitters, and what tends to work this year with their offense. So maybe he will grow into a little bit more power as he's still. Is pretty young, so that maybe is in favor of him. He hits the ball hard, so if he can launch a bit more and he grows into a little bit more power, then we will see some more pop out of him. But another solid pick.
Yeah, and now it seems like, you know, the baseball rules are changing with the shift, so guys like these are probably I don't know if it's going to work to their favor if they're able to hit all fields and they can, you know, work against, you know, certain shifts, or maybe it'll be harder for them because now there's going to be an infielder, you know, that could be blocking that shift. But what do you guys think about that?
If you have bat to ball control, it doesn't really matter. If you look at Jeff McNeil, if they shift him, he will go the other way. And if these guys have that type of bat to ball control, which was written, I have no worried about that.
Okay. Let's see. So let's move on to the fifth pick the Mets made in the third round, which was Brandon Sprout, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Right. So
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's another arm they got. I'm surprised they didn't try to get a lefty. But I like Brandon Sprout. He's got a, you know, his fastball averages 97 miles an hour. It can touch up to 100. He seems like a raw type of guy that, you know, the Mets can use. What do you think about him, Charlie?
Yeah, no, he's got the build of a pitcher that, you know, you'd want, you know, 6'3", tall, power arm, definitely has the ability to strike out a lot of hitters. You know, had 82 strike last year at Florida as a sophomore in just under 90 innings. So definitely has that strikeout potential that you'd want to see, has, you know, that power pitch and the fastball. And again, it's another one of those situations where I think as he moves through, he's going to have to, you know, work on his secondary pitches and his control a little bit. He did have 33. So that's pretty good, but certainly something that you want to, you know, kind of key in on as you progress through the system is being better at controlling your secondary pitches, especially. So, yeah, another solid pick, a power, you know, can throw hard, and that's where the game's going now. So anytime you can get a tall, hard throwing pitcher, and that's a win. So another good pick there in the.
Yeah, it seems like you know, he's definitely good at throwing strikes. Now, Corney, what do you think about Brandon? Because walks seem to have been an issue for him. And is there reliever risk for Brandon Sprout, or you think he's legit?
Well, that all depends on the secondary pitches, which Charlie also mentioned. If he's able to develop that, I see him as a starter. If he's not, he could still be a very good reliever with that fastball. So if that's the worst case scenario for him to be a good reliever, I mean, then it's always a good pick. They has time to develop. He will get some ups and downs I'm lost for that word. Sorry. In my
opinion.
Yeah, my. All right. I'm trying to move on.
That's all right. No, it's all good. So yeah, we all like it. It seems. Now there were other picks, you know, that the Mets made. The following day, is there anybody that stood out to you guys? We don't need to go into details to every single pick, just anybody that stands out. I'll let you start, Corney.
Well, I went with Jonah Tong, and mainly because I found out that according to the draft data, he was top on that list. He has a nice 96 mile an hour fastball, which he uses up in the zone with a lot of success. And he has a curveball with head over 2,800 RPM. So the nerves amongst us would be thrilled with seeing all the spin rates. He had a nice spin rate on his fastball as well. So I thought that was fun to mention that they have a bit of a spin rate guy in the back of their top 10 round. Round picks.
This is a Jonah Tong you're talking about?
Yes.
He's a Canadian pitcher.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Charlie? Is there anybody that stood out to you that you'd like to talk about that we didn't cover?
Yeah, for one, in the Mets 10th round pick, Zebulon Vermillion, just on his name alone, I feel like that'll be someone who the fans, to have someone on the Mets named Zebulon Vermillion would be.
I love it.
Would be pretty cool. But you know, their 4th round pick, Jacob Reimer, I think has the potential to be a pretty good prospect down the line. Another high school bad, actually went to the same high school as Taiwan Walker, Yucaipa High School in California. So that's a cool little connection there. But he definitely, you know, has all the tools and the makings of a middle of the order back, and play third base, a little bit of a shortstop as well. But probably, you know, his size, 6'3", would indicate that he's more of a third baseman. And as a high school player, he showed a tremendous power for Yucaipa, and certainly you would project and say that as he gets older and matures, that he'll athletically and physically and that power, he'll be able to tap into it even more.
Okay. Yeah, that's I do like that pick. I think there's definitely some power there. I'm excited about seeing how they all develop. But one guy that I want to talk about is Tyler Stewart. I'm a big fan of pitchers who are huge. This guy is a monster in the mound. He's 6'9" at 250. Well, he's listed at 250. He could easily hit like 300 pounds if he, as he gets older. I don't believe he'll be a starter, though. I think he'll be like a really strong. I mean, I would love him to develop as a starter, but I think he could be one of those guys that can, you know, come into the game and just, you know, be dominant and not towards the end of the game. Big fan of him. That's wrap up the draft chat. Unless there's anything else you guys want to say.
No, yeah, not really.
All right. So now the Mets have made some moves in the last 2 days. Well, honestly, they could have just made one trade with the Pirates, but they decided to make two separate plays. So let's talk about the big one, which was they got Vogelbach, right? Much needed. The DH against right-handed pitchers has been, you know, room for improvement. Vogelbach mashes these right-handed. If you look at his numbers, he does pretty well against righties. What do you guys think about this move?
You could go first, Charlie.
Oh, okay. It's a great move. It did cost a little bit of a price in Holderman, who I like, but, you know, young pitcher, only 15 innings or so in the majors, definitely I don't think would be someone who you would want pitching in a playoff game, just based on the fact that he doesn't have a lot of experience. So obviously was a contributor, but certainly someone who's replaceable. The next 2 weeks, they can trade for someone who's better than Holderman. But like you said, Del, tremendous numbers against right-handed pitching. OPS near 900 right-hander. So definitely would be better as a platoon. Because you look at his overall numbers and they're, you know, they're good, but they're not anything crazy about. Only a 430 slugging and 770 OPS about. But against lefties, he's absolutely dreadful. Just a 423 OPS against lefties. So that really kind of plummets his numbers overall. So if you just kind of isolate him against the right-handed pitchers, he's a really good the order bat. I think, you know, you slot him right behind Alonso and McNeil in that six hole, ahead of like and the catcher and was Escobar Guillorme would be a perfect spot for him. And you know, they definitely need some thump. Besides Alonso and Lindor, no one's really hitting for any sort of consistent power. So having another one from the left side at the DH position, which has been a struggle for them all season, and to give up not a lot is always a plus, and I think a good move from Billy Epler and co.
Yeah, I agree. the DH position has been horrendous. I mean, if your DH is I mean, the number eight hitter in a lineup for most of the for most of the days, that means that your DH isn't doing what you want a DH to do. And Dom Smith and JD Davis, I mean, Dell knows that I still believe that JD Davis can be a good hitter. But they just haven't performed. And right now, this team isn't a rebuilding team that can keep waiting on guys to start performing or keep hoping for guys to start performing. So it was time to make a move. Vogelbeck, Holderman, yes. I liked Holderman too. On the other hand, if you look at, like, for example, Ottavino, who cost us $4 million last year to be a vital part in this bullpen. Bullpen guys aren't as hard to get. If you look at all the bullpen arms that are available in this trade deadline, I mean, that there are tons out there that you can get. So I'm not that worried that the Mets can replace Holderman with another bullpen arm, although I don't really like that you get a controllable young bullpen arm. On the other hand, Holderman was available for every team in the Rule 5 draft pick before this season starts. So eventually they turned someone who could easily be gone before the year into a good hitter against right-handers hitters, who's not only a Met for this half year, but for next year and maybe even the year after. So I think it's a solid move.
Yeah, and I mean that's the thing, is that, you know, we're not just getting 1 year of Vogelbach, right? I think he's a free agent after the 2025 season.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
So now, you know, Holderman, I've seen a lot of mixed reviews on, you know, Twitter and social media. People are just like, "Oh my God, how could we trade this guy? He's amazing." Well, you know, what happens when Trevor May gets back and Jacob deGrom gets back? Like, do we honestly think that Holderman might even be pitching in the major leagues? Another thing is, he's good, but he's got under 18 innings pitch, one bad outing, and this guy is like his ERA, it's inflated into like 8, and we're like, oh God, why do we have him? Why don't we trade him? You know, there's always risk with these young guys. I do think he's talented, but I mean, I think it was a fair trade, and like Charlie mentioned, we can find Ocorne. I mean, we could find this a relief pitcher elsewhere.
Funny thing that Holderman was sent down to AAA right now, so he's not in their bullpen.
Right. I mean, we got what we needed. Now, the next move kind of surprised me. Granted, it only cost us money. We didn't send any prospects to the Pirates, but we got a catcher. We got Michael Perez, right, from the Pirates, whose offense is not really, you know, it's a little bit on. Look at his Savant, and I do have to question the defensive figures that's available there. Like, his pop speed is pretty low. He's not a good framer. What's going on here, Corney? What do you think about Michael Perez?
Honestly, I have to think that maybe Nick Dini would do the same job as Michael Perez would. On the other hand, like you said, it's just cash, and the Mets desperately needed catching depth, because we got him right after that the Nido was hit on that pitch on his wrist. So that had to be part of it, why they thought, oh well, wow, if we lose Nido right now, what do we have? We have Patrick Mazika, who I'm not a fan of.
No.
We have Nick Dini in the minors, and we have Meyer. I think that kid Meyer, where you talked about.
Yeah.
I don't really know why he didn't really have a opportunity right now, because you have to think that Nick Meyer can do what Michael Perez can do. So I'm a
yeah.
bit in between. I know you need depth, but on the other end, meh. Yeah.
Yeah, I am not a fan of it. Charlie, what about you? What do you think about Perez?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of almost seems like I don't want to say irrelevant trade, but one of those trades where you kind of forget about. I mean, Perez this year for the Pirates has 16 hits and six of them that tells you everything you need to know about him. He'll run into one every once in a while, but other than that,
well, he had three. He had three in one game.
Oh, did he? So yeah. So basically,
yeah.
So he, you know, he's depth at worst, you know, and it didn't cost much of anything. And, you know, obviously Nito has played Padres, so hopefully he avoids an IL stint. But at the same time, like Cornet said, you don't want Patrick Mazika to be catching, you know, even like 50% of your games, let alone 75 to 100. So bringing in depth like that is, I think, a smart move. And, you know, it costs them nothing. And at worst, he, you know, will hit a home run every 10 at-bats.
Yeah, and it's also not that we had to DFA Travis Blankenhorn. I mean, that's not the end of the world. So eventually, you don't lose. Like you said, you don't lose anything. So it's never a really bad thing. Although, yeah, it's just not a good player.
Yeah. Speaking of losing anything, so this last subject we can make a whole episode on, but I just want to make, you know, just quickly to wrap up the show, the next 5 minutes or so. So Soto, is he worth it? And Charlie, Cornet believes you can get Soto with just Mark Vientos, right, Cornet?
Yeah, I do believe that we can get Soto for just Mark Vientos, and I think it's a maybe even an overpay. So I hope, Charlie, that you think before you say that I'm dumb, because obviously there is a catch to what I said.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think, obviously, I think it will cost a lot more than Vientos. Of the catch, but certainly, well, you know, I think it's interesting if they were to attach Patrick Corbin's contract. That's a really bad deal. It's looking like he's been terrible this year, and three, if not four, more years left. I think three, after this year. So, you know, maybe they could, you know, kind of do it to the Mets and attach a bad contract to a great player. Edwin Diaz and Robinson Cano, but certainly I think even with that, I would imagine it would cost more than a top 50-ish prospect in Mark Vientos.
Yeah, so before you keep going there, I just want to let you know what Cornet did to me before I had my coffee. Mm-hmm. He gave me this whole thing. Yeah, we can get him for Vientos. I'm like, what? And then I oh, God, he's talking about not Juan Soto, Gregory Soto. So he's a little bit of a prankster.
yeah, I mean, we can choose Gregory Soto. I think he's a pretty good fit for us. So,
yeah,
no,
he would be. No, he would.
I think it would be an overpay to send Vientos for him. But, yes, Gregory Soto. But Juan Soto, Cornet, is it worth it? What's it going to cost? What do you think?
Oof. It would cost a haul. I mean, honestly, I think it's smart that the Nationals are trying it right now. They aren't going anywhere in the next 2 to 3 years anyway. And Juan Soto's value is pretty darn high right now. If you add Corbin's contract, I still think you need like three top prospects plus that contract. And Corbin, I think in his last year, gets $35 million per year. Because it's backloaded. So that's, yeah. I mean, I love Soto. I mean, what can't you love? The guy is one of the best players in the world. He's still 23. But I just don't think the Mets need, with Cohen's money, I don't think the Mets need to make that type of blockbuster trade. I think what the Mets want to do is build from within and add the pieces they need. A little bit like the 2015 Mets. You know, you have a lot of young talent on that team, and where you have a need, you pay in free agency. And I think that's the way to win. That's my belief in the way to win. And I don't think 2.5 years for Soto, who you don't really know if he will extend anywhere. I mean, he has vocal that he wants to to be a free agent, that he wants to test the market. I know Cohen's money. I know he can get the world from the Mets if they trade him. But then it's still not a guarantee that the Mets are going to keep him. So I think that's a ton of risk. Also in your division, so you make the Nats a lot stronger with your own players who could hurt. So I wouldn't do it, although I would love Juan Soto in a Mets uniform.
Right. And you know, just like you said, it's a $35 million a year we're going to be paying if we get Corbin. And, you know, the idea of trading for Soto is that you're going to lock him up. That's, you know, we're looking at over a year for just Soto. So you put the two together and there's like more than half of your pay. It's going to be all these two players. One who's a pitcher who's just like underwhelming. He's just really bad. I do think there might be some upside to Corbin, but what he used to be back in 2018. But you know, that being said, Soto's 23 years old. He's a generational talent. He's, I mean, look, we got guys in the farm. I think Vientos is a on Soto right now. And you know, Soto's got 5 years. He's a veteran series. He's legit. He can be honestly, I think in a few years his prime numbers, you know, age 27 or whatnot, he can put up, you know, kind of like Barry Bonds numbers, not the power, but you know, I do think he can hit like 40, 50 home runs max, but definitely like he's just an incredible player. Charlie, you know, before we wrap it up, I want to.
Yeah, I mean, from everything you read, it seems like the Nationals want one or two young major league players and a team's three or four top prospects. And, you know, for the Mets, that'd be, what would that be? You know, David Peterson, you know, Dom Smith, Alvarez, Marie, and Vientos. Like, are you going to give that up for Juan Soto? I don't know. It's a tough pill to swallow for sure. But like you guys have said, you are giving, or you are getting one of, if not the best player in the league right now, and someone who is only 23, and basically you'd have 2 years to kind of figure out the logistics of an extension if you so choose and if Soto so chooses. Because the problem with waiting for free agency is that all 30 teams presumably have a chance to. If you were to trade for Soto now, you have all that time where it's just you and him. So I don't think it's going to happen. The Nationals show no interest, I think, in trading with the Mets, it seems like, from what people are saying around the game. Well, so
trading Soto because Bell seems to be available, yeah. But not Soto.
Yes, yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, Bell, yeah, Bell for sure. But
yeah,
so the Nationals feel very inclined to make a team in their division have their former best player. That would be a tough look, I think, if for the next 10 years the Nationals had to see Juan Soto. But I think, yeah, it's going to cost a lot, and I think it's worth it. You know, you get him for three. Minimum, you're getting him for three postseason pennant runs, right? So if that costs, you know, a bunch of maybes, a bunch of question marks, then I think you do it. Because like you said, Soto is 23. Alvarez is 20 or 21. In 2 or 3 years, is Alvarez going to be Juan Soto? Probably not. Like, he's going to be really good, but it's not going to be when he's 23. So I think it is worth it. Obviously, it will take a lot, but you're getting in for, you know, three World Series runs and potentially more.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's totally worth it. It's going to hurt to see these players perform, but he's a proven guy. Cornet, you seem to be like you're against it because it's going to cost too much and you don't want the Corbin.
Correct? No, I'm against it, and mainly because I think the Mets with their spending, I think it's smarter. I think the Mets wanted to contend not just for the next 2.5-3 years, but I think the Mets want and can contend for the next 15 years altogether, like what the Dodgers are doing right now. And the Dodgers make trades, but I don't think they the Mets farm system right now is at that point that we are able to do that type of trade to completely fleece the farm. I mean, we are a very top heavy farm right now, all and right. I want to build some with this draft. We can do that with the prospects we would now have. I want to build a farm system which can be top or at least mid every year, and a major league ball club which can be can contend for World Series every year. And I think the Mets want it, and I think the Mets can do it with building from within and adding free agents, spending. And yes, Juan Soto, I know he's great. I know he's a generational player. But next year, for example, you have Aaron Judge on the market, and I know he's a lot, he's come older, but then you also have a guy who can help you for 2 to 3 years to still be a very good hitter in our ball club. So that's what I would do more.
Okay. Well, I want to wrap this up. Thank you both for being here, Charlie. It's great. Cornet, it's been a while since we've done a show. Charlie, I would love to see you on more of our shows. That's it.
I would too, Charlie. It was fun. Thank you, guys.
Bye.